The event industry is going global, just like Event Planner TV. More and more event suppliers are working across the borders, and the number of international congresses and events is rising. There are, however, a lot of cultural differences between continents and countries you need to be aware of. Bart Provost of Expert Academy is my studio guest today. He will tell you how to manage and make sure you won't insult anybody. Hi Bart, welcome in our studio.
Thank you for the invitation.
How important is it to be aware of the cultural differences there are if you organize an international congress or events?
Well, it's pretty important, given the fact that a lot of people, they assume, and assumptions, there we go again, never assume, always ask, they assume that other people behave in the exact same way. They share the same set of values, which absolutely is not the case, of course. Other people might react completely different and in a very negative way to what you say, what you do, if you don't take into account that they do have a different set of values.
Can you give some examples of that?
Like, for instance, if you would go into a negotiation into the Middle East and you would start crossing your legs like this, showing the bottom side of your foot, the sole of your foot, is one of the rudest things you can do in Middle Eastern context. You probably noticed that sometimes at the American president, some Middle Eastern journalists even started throwing shoes to the president in order to insult him. These are tiny little things, but they can make a huge difference.
Well, in the preparation of this interview, you told me about a model. Can you explain?
Two Dutch professors, father and son Hofstede, and they have developed a model of five dimensions. And let's say 50% of all cultural differences, they can be explained by using this model, this Hofstede model. So there are five dimensions. One of them is more about identity. Whom am I? Am I more individualistic? And that's the name of this dimension, individualism. Or am I more belonging to a group? So more collective. The second one is more about, is there a difference between people on a hierarchical level? Do we appreciate and do we consider the difference of power, the distribution of power as difference, and so on? So you have five dimensions like this. And these dimensions, they can be used to explain 50% of all cultural differences between different people.
Yeah, but there are a lot of different differences. How can you know them by heart?
Well, there is a very easy tool. If you're a traveler, for instance, and you let me just check on this iPad. So you have like something like a culture GPS that's being developed by these guys. And what you can do is just look up the country. Like, for instance, if you go to China and you choose China, then you have the five dimensions. So the further on you see it, the more it goes up to 100, the more they score on this dimension. Like, for instance, IDV is for individualistic. No, it's very low score, which means that it's far more a collectivistic culture. Whereas LTO is a long-term orientation. They appreciate far more the present and the past than the future.
But how do you translate those bars into actual behavior?
Absolutely. Well, you need to know something more about the model, so that way you can see, like, for instance, never go into a culture where there is the hierarchical difference, the power distance index, where it is really high, where people really appreciate different hierarchical levels, and they accept the fact that someone else is going to make the call and the decisions. So if at a certain moment, into a negotiation, and you're starting to talk to the exactly wrong person, at that moment, there will never be a decision made. Or that person will not even start having eye contact at that moment. And you can go completely the wrong way if you don't address to the highest ranking person in the room, for instance. So all these little behaviors, they can be derived from this one. Let's not forget, there is one thing. A lot of people think that because you belong to a culture, that they can predict every single behavior you have. And there is always, it's only 50% that's being accounted for by this model. There's always the individual himself. Or
that was exactly what I wanted to ask you. But we are talking now about continents, countries, but even within countries, there are differences.
Sure.
Look at Belgium, split country, two languages, lot of cultural differences.
Sure.
How can you manage that?
Well, okay, within some countries, like for instance, Belgium is a very typical country where you have two very different zones, the north and the south zone. That's even within this model. But even apart from that, if you look at the US, if you look at China, if you look at Australia, I mean, there are so many differences between people, even differences between two villages right next door, one next door to another. So it's always important to have an open mind and not to take this like... this is the absolute paradigm that I really do have to use. Whenever I see, for instance, a Chinese person, this person will absolutely react as this model can predict. That would be nonsense. There's so much more to it than only that.
It would be easy.
It would be easy, but it would be boring, wouldn't it?
Totally. Can you give some additional examples? For example, if we look at the Japanese people,
okay.
What do we have to know?
Well, there is a difference between the culture of the Japanese people and their cultural aspects. Like, okay, there is a high hierarchical order, so power distance index scoring really high, given the fact that they have a huge difference between bosses and co-workers, for instance. So make sure that if the person across you is very important, that you bow a little bit lower, for instance. But there are so many other things. Like, suppose you're having a beer. Someone you're visiting.
At an event, for example.
Sure. And your Japanese client or colleague or the person that is assigned to take you around in Japan starts giving you some beer. So he takes your own beer bottle and serves you beer in your own beer glass. At that moment, it is considered to be very rude if you don't do the exact same thing to the other person. Yeah. So... these tiny little things. The Japanese people, for instance, the exchange of business cards is very important. It's like a ritual. Rituals are very important as well. So at that moment, you don't, what we do in a Western culture, okay, thank you very much, you put it in your pocket and you give your own one. No way, you keep it. You admire the title, you admire the structure, the font, you admire the card, the paper it's printed on, and you pronounce it with a lot of respect, you bow again, and you keep it in front of you. And then you give your own card, and then you receive in return, you receive the same ritual. Now, this is more the behavioral stuff about the differences between cultures, but they're equally important.
I do remember a story about an Indian airline company.
Sure.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, the Indian airline company, they reached an agreement. They had a contract with a ground handler, the party that's handling the suitcases and the checking in and the boarding of passengers. And one of their SLAs, one of their service level agreements, was that their business and VIP passengers should be accompanied by the personnel of that ground handler, preferably young ladies with their hair in a ponytail. Because apparently that was very important for the Indian businessman that took that airline company.
So it is important to be aware of the cultural differences when organizing international events.
Absolutely.
I really want to thank you, Bart, for coming
to
our
studio.
And thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next time.